Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hello, this is Judy. Thank you so much for spending your valuable time with us. I had the opportunity to sit down with Jamie Harvey to talk about the Bagot Duluth campaign. And, you know, health, the concept of health, is a pretty complex web that intersects with all of us on the micro and macro levels, of course. And today's topic really brings that home. The Bagot Duluth Project is a campaign that aims to drastically reduce the single-use plastic bags and straws in our community. And I think many of us here eliminate plastic bags and we kind of feel really good and excited about it. Like, that sounds like a great thing. And then we kind of feel a little clingy to our habits and what we know as our convenience. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I don't think I'm alone in that. And I actually really appreciate this conversation because I feel less that way. And I hope after this conversation, you will too. Jamie clarifies what this actually means to our community, us individually, and makes it really easy, unintimidating, and user-friendly. And I am totally down with that. So a fun little bit of history. I met Jamie while I was at UMD. I was working on a pretty big project and was pointed in his direction. And he was a huge source of knowledge and guidance, not only with the project, but just really, it was a very community-based project. And I was introduced and learned so much about our community and some of the things going on here that was just absolutely amazing for me to becoming a part of this community. And his encouragement and perspectives and helping me find my own passions and pulling them out of me at times with various projects that I did have been truly valuable. Jamie is a great force for good in so many capacities, and I think we're really lucky to have him here. So without further ado, let's learn more about Bagot Duluth. Thank you, Jamie, for joining me today and spending some time to talk about plastic. Go ahead and introduce yourself and talk a little bit about how you got into this and what is the Bagot campaign for Duluth.
Sure. Thanks, Judy. It's nice to be here on this podcast. So I'm the coordinator of Bagot Duluth. It's doing it in volunteer capacity. I wear a couple of other different hats. I do a little bit of consulting around the country. I'm the coordinating director for an initiative in Fresno, California that we call the Food Commons. It's sort of been described as one of the most forward-thinking new models around food. It's a completely community-owned food system. I'm also the executive director here in Duluth for the Institute for a Sustainable Future. So there's sort of bits and pieces of work that they do. But I think at the core of what, and I guess how I think of myself, is that it's about working on systems and interconnections. So it's less about the things, whether it's food or bags or whatever it's, but how, what's our operating system? What's the new operating system that we need into the future? So I became involved with Bagot Duluth about a year and a half ago, when two sort of colleagues asked if I'd help them organize this campaign. And I'll admit it wasn't at the top of my list of things to do, but I think what attracted me was that this campaign around plastics and single-use disposables allows us as citizens of Duluth to do something. And I think so many of us are overwhelmed with sort of the problems that we're facing. And so that was really attractive, because everything that the campaign is suggesting that we do, which is move away from single use to go with containers, to move towards reusable bags, and to move away from plastic straws, you know, these are just habits. We didn't do this 25 years ago, or maybe 30 years ago. So it's something that we can do. So that really attracted me. And so the other piece was that I just think Duluth can be a real leader on this. We call ourselves this great outdoor city. Mm-hmm. We pride ourselves on a whole lot of deep values. We care deeply about one another. We care about the environment. We care about future generations. There are a whole variety of values that connect us. And so this work around plastics and waste connect to all those values. And so I think Duluth can be a leader. And so that's how I became involved about a year and a half ago, was sort of through some conversations. And we sort of kicked off a public event January 2017.
And the website is
bagatduluth.org.
And I was looking on there, and it's just interesting to see some of the statistics that come out of how much plastic we do use. And I'm thinking how much this has just become a habit for us in using plastic, especially because it's convenient and it's easy and it doesn't take up a lot of space, I suppose, in the stores when they get them to use them, but then how much space it takes up in the waste side of things. But the numbers of how much goes into the lake each year and how many bags stores actually use a year, an average grocery store, like those are numbers that are, it's hard to like wrap my head around them. 20 million pounds of plastic enter the Great Lakes, so that's all the lakes, mm-hmm. annually. Grocery stores, 1.5 million single-use carry-out bags a year.
In Duluth.
So that's a staggering number. Like, if, you know, I think of how long it takes to count to a million, so it's just a lot of bags. So looking at what does this all mean, what does this mean for land and water? We talk about changing our habits and doing something different, but what is actually happening with the plastic that's causing problems in general in the lake?
So, you know me, I go up to 30,000 feet pretty quickly sometimes. and so, you know, it's wreaking havoc at one level on our aquatic, on life. It's impacting climate change. So we're finding plastic in fish. We are finding plastic particles off of Park Point. We're finding plastic particles in the St. Louis River. We know they absorb toxic chemicals. And so they become little sort of absorbent sponges for toxic chemicals that are in the water. And then the fish preferentially eat these. So they help the sort of bioaccumulation of toxics in the fish that then we eat or birds eat or bigger fish eat and so forth. So that's sort of one issue. I think there's so many layers to this as well. I think there are those who are really concerned about impacts to wildlife. I think what's often forgotten are the hidden faces behind the whole plastics or whole waste industry, right? So we had the Husky Fire, for example, in Superior a month or so ago. Mm-hmm. There are other communities like Mossville, which is down in Cancer Alley in Louisiana. I was down there about 20 years or so ago and I was working with some of the fence line community there or at an event with the fence line communities. And these are communities that are living and breathing and sleeping with vinyl chloride and hydrocarbon emissions like every single day of their lives, or Port Arthur in Texas and so forth. And these are the faces that make the plastic and the families that make the plastic. And so there's a whole, the plastic bags aren't just what we use in the day or that may end up in the water. There's whole lives and families that are impacted by our disposable society. And so it's hard to really know to go with your question. And I guess I would offer that this is more than, it's not really only about plastics. And my worry is that people tend to think, okay, plastics are bad, what's next, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Instead of more broadly thinking about their behaviors and a relationship to our environment and the planet. And so this abundance of plastics in our water and our fish and our animals and our, you know, these plastic gyres these are big patches of plastic that are really killing our oceans. But they give us life, right? Our planet and gives us life. And so what's really fun, I'm segueing a little bit, I know here, but I think what's really interesting to me about this campaign is it's really forcing people to ask questions about their own behaviors. And I think it's really easy to point at other people, at some egregious corporation doing something or, you know, some big pollutant far away. But this is really about how we've suddenly adopted these habits, right? When did we suddenly start drinking iced teas with plastic straws out of single-use plastic containers? Like, and we feel we need these now, right? So the power to change is within ourselves, but it's really an issue, I think, of moving beyond. There's this waste hierarchy. So the WLSSD, the Western Lakes Superior Sanitary District, and the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency all have embedded in their solid waste management plans. These are the plans sort of dictate how and they educate and tell the story of what we should do with waste, right? It's about moving up the hierarchy. It means they don't use the word refuse, but it's refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle, right? We think we can recycle our way out of this, but it's as though somehow this waste goes away. And I think what this plastic problem that's impacting societies across the globe is telling us, we have to have a different relationship, not only with ourselves, but with one another and our planet. And so I'm sort of prattling on in some ways, but I think for me, this is just this campaign, this plastic bag, it's just a metaphor. These are tiny little things. They're not going to solve, it's not going to solve the world's problems. But what at least I hope, and I think others in the campaign that have added, there's many organizations and people involved, but I think many of them also come to this too, this work provides a metaphor for a much bigger change.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I was just thinking, you were talking about the reduce, reuse, recycle. And one of the things that I picked up on the website that I was thinking about was, I always hear reduce, reuse, recycle as if it's a either reduce, either reuse, or recycle. And the statement was reduce, reuse, then recycle, putting some emphasis on the reuse as well. And I know, I think I saw on your website that focus on reuse more than recycle.
You know, exactly. It's a hierarchy again. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you brought that up. I think people just say, yeah, exactly, that it's not hierarchical, meaning one's more important than the other. And I think at the top of that, that's often not put in there, is refuse, right? We don't have to do something, right?
Right.
So refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle. And then the last one at the very bottom is landfill or incineration. Those are the absolute sort of worst things that we want to do. And so, exactly. So what we're really suggesting is that we move up the hierarchy. We start to say, let's start refusing these items that we don't really need. Like, can't we drink an icy drink in it without a straw, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if we absolutely, absolutely need a straw, and there are people with medical conditions that need straws,
right.
But that's not the majority. Why are we having five people? I think the statistic is something like 500 million straws a day are thrown out. You know, through this single largest contaminant in our compost at the WLSSD, or the compost facilities. And that's likely because, I haven't asked or followed it up, my guess is it's because a lot of the restaurants in Duluth are now required to compost sort of the post-consumer food waste. And so it gets scraped off, and there's straws that are part of this, you know, part of the drinks, ends up in the compost.
Oh, okay.
That's my guess, right?
Okay.
But so why are there straws in the compost, right?
Right.
So we don't need these things, right?
Sarah's Table started to not use straws recently. Am I correct that the juice farm uses metal straws?
You know, I saw a post that they are either selling them or offering them.
Okay.
We're a completely volunteer campaign of organizations.
Right.
And so we do our best to try to keep up. There's some other businesses in town. There's quite a lot that are actually starting to shift away from plastic straws. But I know Sarah's Table has taken a real lead. They're one of our early organizations that signed on in support of the Bag It campaign. They're using biodegradable to-go containers. So they're an example of what restaurants can do. Right, they're doing an absolutely phenomenal job, and they've been the leader in setting a trend. And so, but yes, they don't give out plastic straws, and I believe only straws on demand.
Okay, and I guess that was something that was interesting when I've been hearing about this for a long time. How much straws are such a big issue? Like, that seems so surprising to me. You know, it's interesting, and it's interesting how it causes so many issues. And so it's straws in the wrong places as well, right? Like, they're not supposed to be in the compostable if they're not compostable. Is that part of the problem?
Well, so if they're plastic, right?
Right.
So I think for me at the core, they're single use. Why?
Right.
Like, how have we created a society where we use things once and we throw them away? Where are they going to go?
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that's the first problem. The second problem is that the only option we have for plastic straws is to put them in the landfill. And then we saw a week or so ago that the WLSSD has let us know that in the next year or two, we're running out of landfill space.
Okay.
Are straws the largest take up the most volume in the landfill? No, they absolutely don't.
Right.
But there's something that we can do
something about.
There's something we can do.
Right.
And so that's sort of the straws angle, right? Do we need paper straws? You know, paper straws have a climate impact, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think we just start, we don't, I think we've gotten lazy as a society about asking questions, right? Mm-hmm. And now we're in this incredibly exciting and I think challenging time for many people. It feels scary, I think, with respect to the sort of climate change and some of the other impacts that our planet is facing. You know, the planet's going to be here forever. It's really a question of how and we humans,
right,
move forward. So we have to start asking questions. And I think that's what's starting to happen. And for me, that's what's really exciting about this campaign, because people are starting to be like, wait a minute. What am I doing? What am I doing? And that's what's really, that's what energizes me when I talk to people. It's like they're asking questions. Then it leads to other questions. Like, how have you created this?
Right. Well, my gosh, we've gotten... Convenience is convenience. We like that. It makes our busy life work better.
But we're sold this idea, right?
Right.
Right. We're sold this idea. So it is convenient, but I would say it's inconvenient to eat fish with plastic in it. Right.
Right? Exactly. And that's one of the things I know some, in hearing a conversation about this exact topic a while back, somebody says, well, yeah, but how does this really impact my life?
Right. And exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, these bags. So the stores in Duluth give out enough single-use bags, right? Remember, they have to pay for them, right? Mm-hmm. They're paying the plastic companies to purchase these bags, which then they give out for free. With that amount of money, they could buy every year 10 reusable bags for every citizen in Duluth.
Wow.
You know, so it's not a question that there's not enough money even. Like, we'd actually drown in the amount of reusable bags if we just shifted. You know, we don't even need them. But that's when you start to refuse. So, but if it also feels as though we're sort of in this place where we're all kind of stuck. Everyone's kind of scared to make a move forward. We have 75 businesses and organizations that have added their support to the Bag at Duluth, and any business or organization that wants to do so, or individuals, can go to the bagatduluth.org website and add their name and see all the others that are up there and join the community. We have others that say, we want this. So bagatduluth.org is advocating for an ordinance to follow what, you know, this is the, what we're suggesting here is it's standard practice in all of the United Kingdom and mm-hmm. in Ireland and all of California. And, you know, in California, that economy is thriving, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not as though we can't do it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to suddenly, people aren't going to shop, you know, like there's enough money to buy bags. We can do it. But the businesses, it's very fascinating. Many of them are saying, we want this ordinance to pass, because then it will level the playing field. Because I really want to do this. They'll say, I fish, I care. Mm-hmm. But they're worried about what their customers might say, right? And the customers, we haven't spoken to every Duluthian in town, but they're saying, you know, yeah, this is, you know, we want to do this. So we've created this pledge on the website. So you as a citizen say, you know, put your name there and say, I support this to happen. But so the stores, some of them are kind of scared to move forward because they don't want to alienate. So we're kind of stuck. And that's why these ordinances that cities are passing are so helpful. And we're seeing dramatic decreases in plastic bag use, going to the landfill and everything. So we're in interesting times, you know. I love this community. I've lived here for 30 years, and I just think we can, you know, move forward, right? And in a way that's respectful and takes care of everyone. And so it's these conversations that I think are starting to unloosen our thinking mm-hmm. because it's about us and our habits.
So it's interesting when you mentioned California doing this. It's like there's a couple...
Or Chicago.
Well,
like all these communities in New York State and Boston.
Europe and India.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking the attitudes we have about California. We look at them and we either go, kind of roll our eyes with the trend setting. Mm-hmm. Or, well, oh my gosh, California, we think of Hollywood, we think of money, we think of convenience. And if they're out there able to do this, we should be able to do this here.
Yeah, I guess I'm not fully tracking on your argument, but I think that but I think the point is that it's not a question of money. We have enough. The stores, you know, we're not suggesting the stores have to pay for reusable bags, right. But if they wanted to, they easily could.
Well, and we as citizens can kind of go, okay, we can figure this out. We can do this.
And you know, people have raised the concern on the bag issue around sort of those with low income. And we have quite a number of low income community members that have emailed and saying, listen, we care as much. Right. I can remember a bag.
Right.
And then there are others that a 5 cent additional charge if you forget your bag can be a burden. We get that. And so in our proposal, we're saying that it doesn't impact, that it won't apply for those to WIC and SNAP and so forth. But we also have many communities of faith that are part of our campaign that have been collecting reusable bags and giving them to CHUM and other social service agencies.
Nice.
And so there's a whole web and connection of this, of these bags.
Well, and how many of us don't have more reusable bags in our house than we can use and would be happy to share them where they're going to be useful?
Right.
Can stores do that? I'm thinking that could be a health concern, but it's like if you go to the store and you have extra reusable bags, could we collect those and then use those?
I can't answer that. I think it's likely some sort of store policies that they might vary, but we can definitely give them, and we have been giving, you know, hundreds, probably thousands of bags to CHUM and other agencies where people can take them and reuse them. So.
And you're not saying, okay, if you go to the grocery store and you don't bring a bag, there's no option for you. Like, that's not what's happening.
No, what we're saying is that the stores, and again, we're not there yet with the citywide ordinance. Mm-hmm. You would incur a nominal 5 cents. Some cities are doing 10 cent, a pass-through charge. So it's not a tax. The stores, essentially, you're paying for the cost. It's like you're purchasing a bag, a single-use bag. And it's very interesting on behavioral economics. What happens is that people the reason why these pass-through charges work is that people want to avoid them at any cost, but they won't be incentivized if the store gives them 5 cents for you bringing a reusable bag.
Mm-hmm.
Those, they tend not to work.
Oh, interesting.
So often we'll hear from someone say, oh, this store has this, you know, this incentive program. But they don't work.
Okay.
You know? But it makes the stores feel good.
Right.
And they can also, some I think may sort of do greenwashing, tend to suggest they're sort of far more environmentally friendly than some of their other policies might suggest. But regardless, you know, it's all part of the conversation.
Well, and it gets, I suppose, if nothing else, it's a step in the right direction to get people thinking about,
I disagree.
No,
I disagree.
Okay.
Because, and, you know, but that's me.
Well,
but
I'm just taking a guess
no,
here.
No, no, yeah. Because I think it tricks us, you know? It makes the store look good, right? And when they don't work, then they shouldn't do it. If it's not working, then why do it?
Right.
Do something else.
Yeah,
you know?
You've got three customers. So carrot and stick thing.
Yeah.
And if we're more motivated by the stick than the carrot.
Or just don't do it, right? Like, it's not working.
Right. So you've talked a little bit about like the restaurants and some of those folks who are supporting this.
Mm-hmm.
What about other organizations, be they other environmental organizations or just people who spend time in the environment, outdoor groups, that kind of thing? Who is supporting this and how can we bring more people?
Right. You know, so we have quite a number of, we have about 75 organizations have added their name and what we would say are part of the campaign. So we have communities of faith, we have PTAs, you know, we have businesses from Blackwoods Group to, you know, the Duluth Grill, the Sarah's Table, the Ski Hut, Continental Ski Shop, that sort of thing. I think we would like to have some more outdoor organizations on board. It's a little surprising because that's sort of, you know, the paddlers and the canoeists and so forth. But I think, you know, we are all, each of these organizations are sort of trying to figure out what they do and how big their mandate is or what. But, you know, we have 75 organizations, or, you know, I'm saying 75, I think it's up to around 80 actually right now, and we're quite satisfied and always looking for more. We have bookstores, we have Zenith Bookstore, we have, you know, Whole Foods Co-op, we have a whole variety of organizations. It's really exciting.
I'm thinking of the people who are out there paddling and canoeing, and I would think they would sort of have some of the first-hand experience of, you know, I know certainly when it's in the fish, you can't see it, but then I think of the Texas-sized pile of plastic that's hanging out there. And I'm assuming that that happens in the lake while they're out and about too. Kind of, again, not so bad that they have to paddle through it or anything. But I would think that that would just be a very visceral reminder that, oh my gosh, where is this stuff going?
I think so. My guess is you're involved with different organizations, right? And many of them are volunteer. And so my sense is that as people become more aware and sort of through this podcast, they'll take a look and want to get involved. We have ways as individuals to just add your name and pledge. You say that you're striving for zero waste.
Right.
So you can go and put your name on there. And we have people from all walks of life. So, yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And so what can we do, you know, as individuals? I know one of the things I noticed was on there was talking about animal waste. If we don't have plastic bags, for instance, what do we do? And I know part of the response, which I thought was really interesting, was first of all, reusing your plastic bags. Yeah, I know when I had cats, that was where my plastic bags went. But they were talking about, you know, using the reusable or the plastic cups and things like that to put waste in. Yeah. Is that...
So again, this campaign is a baby step, right? So it's only focused on, again, on the straws, the to-go containers, and the what we call carry-out bags. These are the bags that you know, the big ones we think of as grocery bags,
right?
So it's not... There's exemptions for the plastic bags that your dry cleaning comes in, or that you may put some granola at the food co-op, or your nuts and screws at a hardware store, or something like that.
Okay.
So there are many bags where people can. What we use, I subscribe to the News Tribune, and we're overwhelmed with the amount of bags, right? And I know 20 years ago, we didn't have plastic bags. Our paper wasn't wrapped in plastic.
Right.
So, and I'm trying to remember what it was. Maybe it was just stuck in the mailbox back then.
Or in the screen door.
Yeah, I'm not sure, right. But so anyways, that's what we use for our pet, you know? So it's not suddenly, it would be exciting to imagine a place where there was so much less plastic, but there are ample opportunities. There still will be many opportunities.
I think that's an important thing for people to hear, because I think there is sort of that idea of when people hear taking away the plastic that it is all going to go away, and then what am I going to use? So I think that's a really good point too, is that we're trying to solve one problem, but it's not everything is going to go away. Then, like you said,
we have far to go as a society with respect to the products we use. We've had people say that, oh, the biggest problem now are the microfibers from clothing, right? A lot of sort of polar fleece is made from recycled plastic bottles. So you're having some of these microfibers go off into the water. Absolutely, that's a big issue.
Right.
But it's difficult to imagine stopping the clothing supply or to start working with manufacturers around, this is something that we can do, right? And what allows us to do is learn as a community, to work together as a community to say, okay, here's this, what's next? You know, what if we started, I know at Bayfront they've made some good steps in moving and putting compostable, you know, containers, at least from some of the events I've been there. I'm not sure if it's zero waste yet. Like, what if everything there was zero waste, that we had no plastic, right? It was either all compostable. Maybe we're there. I don't think so, but as an example, right? Or at the events that City Hall hosted, what are we doing as a city to model this? We have millions of people coming into this city. It's really exciting. We can be a model for the nation around this issue.
Right.
And I think what's also happening is people are coming. Outdoor Magazine lists as what the number one outdoor city in the nation, and we promote our connection to the lake. And so these tourists are coming from Chicago, where they have these bag ordinances, or from California, or from sort of the funky, you know, Colorado and Boulder. The mountain bikers are coming in. And my guess is they're kind of surprised and appalled. I hope not. I want them to come back, right?
Right.
But because, so this is where we can shine. It's kind of where we can easily shine. And so it's another way for us to market and tell our story. Because we have so many awesome things in the community, like domestic abuse intervention project. We have the drug court. We have other things and sort of the social service side of things that are just that are models for
right.
That are models. And what about this? And
right.
I think you know that a number of years ago I was involved in moving mercury legislation both nationally and then globally. It started in Duluth. We had the first mercury thermometer ban in Duluth that was unanimously supported by city council. This was maybe 15 years ago. And we then moved, it was followed by San Francisco and Chicago and New York. Then we moved it to Malaysia, to Argentina. Now we have a global mercury treaty, largely as an example, I would argue, of the role, leading role that Duluth played and then the healthcare community played in talking about the relationship between environment and health. Right? Because yeah. we're intimately connected with our planet. It's not
right.
as though that's the environment over there and health's over here, right? Because of this, you know that through
right.
your work. You
right.
Know. And so that it's all connected. And so we can do the same thing around plastics and starting to think, what would a whole new circular economy look like, right? Where there is no waste,
mm-hmm.
right? So waste is either... It's all, we're not creating waste, we're reusing it and putting it into a new economy and creating jobs, livable jobs for people, and we could be a model, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
that's an area that I think Duluth can be a real model for, and sort of through this is one way to start moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the issues of sort of social justice and environmental justice, they're all the same. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really how do we shift towards a non-hierarchical model from where we have power over instead of the power within.
Mm-hmm.
And so I
like that.
No, but how do we work with one another?
Right.
That we think that the earth, that we are can be stewards of the earth. The reality is that the earth is stewarding us, right? Like we're
right.
kind of crazy, we humans.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So it's providing us everything that we need. Everything that we need. And so there are important lessons there.
Mm-hmm.
About how we work with one another. And there's no top dog when it comes to the planet. There's an incredible interrelationship amongst all things.
Right.
We know that soil organisms enter our gut and they influence our mental health and our physical health, right? Suddenly the microbiome is this big thing. We didn't know about it.
Right.
Now suddenly we know about
right.
it. That
right.
our mental health is influenced by the soil organisms. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of either... There's a little hubris here, right? We often think we're a little smarter than we are. and so the work that Black Lives Matter, that, you know, the incredible Feminist Action Coalition Duluth is doing,
mm-hmm.
and all of this is saying we need a different world in which there's not typically a white guy at the top, right?
Right.
Right. But it's flattened, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an ecological model that's all interconnected versus a hierarchical model.
Well, and yeah, many people are in their own little silos, but not really wanting to be in their own little silos and figuring
right.
out, like you're saying, how do we interconnect? And I imagine that so many people feel, I've got this cause, I want to do that and that and that and that, but I can't do all of it. So they don't necessarily reach out where how can we reach out as groups together?
For me, the power of this Bagot campaign and some, like, there's lots of other similar work, right, that's
mm-hmm.
maybe not environmental. It's not the things, it's not the plastics bag, but it's sort of how we do it, right? It's
right.
the how. It's the operating system. It's not the things that we're trying to do. So you can use... power and anger, that's sort of using the same old operating system, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we approach this from love and connection and compassion, we can absolutely change the world.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then we're doing things for different reasons and being a little more thoughtful about our actions.
Exactly.
As we do it and why we're doing it. And that's encouraging to us to do it, you know, instead of the, trying to think of a good example of even just the simplicity of taking the bag to the store, taking your own bag and thinking about why you're doing that and who all you are affecting. And yes, it's only one time, but it's all of that that adds up for everybody and the different mindset. And then if we start demanding different things as citizens, because we're not demanding as much plastic, et cetera, then that shifts.
Right. It's a
everything.
Shift, I think, from sort of a me to a we.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with sort of this conversation or this notion about the great transformation that we're in. Like, we're moving, we're in this great transformation in sort of our thinking as a global species. It's moving from sort of this top-down mechanistic approach to sort of a collaborative ecological approach. Sort of this is the time that we're in. And I think that's why, for me, this bag work and all the work, again, on the Me Too movement and Feminist Action Coalition, Black Lives Matter, all of these justice movements, it's about that it's this shifting, right, mm-hmm. from top-down approaches. And the collective wisdom, we have such an abundance of wisdom that's not used.
Right.
That's not used. And that's sort of what I see, and that's what's, I think, really energizing about this campaign is the conversations you have with everyday people.
Right. Right.
And so let's connect it all up. Let's connect it up. And, you know, I think we're getting there. And it was interesting to me when the news hit around sort of the plastics in the beer, right? People suddenly, I don't know if you saw, about 3 weeks ago, there was a major, it was a national report, I think it was published in Science or Public Library of Science, around some researchers who are looking at craft beers, and they detected plastic particles in craft beer from Duluth and some other Great Lakes cities, as I remember. And so people suddenly got excited. It's like, oh my goodness, what, you know, this is bad. It was also in drinking water. But if you search in any beer on the planet, my guess is you'd find plastic particles. But, there's all, National Geographic did a story 3 weeks ago. It was a cover. It was like, plastics are contaminating the planet. Mm-hmm. Right? And that those who don't drink beer or didn't read the newspaper might have read National Geographic. There's starting to be this collective awareness. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of these types of campaigns is that we can do something.
Right? Right.
Each of us can do something.
Right.
We can go, and on our website, right, you go to our website, we have some little cards that you can drop. If you're a little more shy and reticent, you can just sort of leave one of these little cards that's with your server that says, please don't use plastic straws, or please don't use, styrofoam to-go containers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a variety of little materials. You can add your name to the pledge, which says, I'm striving for zero waste. And you can see the whole community of other Duluthians that are there with you.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can sign it too,
nice.
Judy. but people get scared by themselves,
yeah.
and they don't
yes.
realize that their neighbor or their coworker is thinking the exact same thing.
Right.
That's sort of the craziness. Our society is kind of siloed us and disconnected us when really we want to all do things together, but we're a little scared.
Right.
So what we've done is try to create the space so that we can connect people. We also have the movie, there's a movie called Bag It, right?
Yes.
So anyone in town can go to our website, and there's a little way to where you can ask for it for free, and you can do a showing. So you can do it. You can watch a movie by yourself under your covers and watch it so no one sees you. You can invite some friends over with some popcorn. You can do it at your workplace. You can do it at your community organization, your place of worship, whatever it is. You can watch it and have a discussion. Just have a conversation about it. And if you're interested, someone from the campaign would be happy to come and just add some, to have a little chit chat and have the conversation. But what we found is it's a great sort of conversation starter into this work. And so there's different ways, and we're having organizations saying, oh my goodness, can we do a reusable bag collection? We're saying, absolutely. Here's some little tidbits, some things to think about, but anyone can do this.
Right.
Anyone can do this.
So UMD, the bookstores up at UMD,
mm-hmm.
and I don't honestly remember exactly how that went, but I know I saw the little bag
mm-hmm.
trees. So if you purchased something and then you could pull off one of those bags to use. Is that the whole idea?
Right. So my understanding is that they have what's called a bag tree. And I don't know if it's there all year round. I know towards the end of the year, this is my understanding. So is that I think the last month, what they say is that they aren't providing or they're charging for bags just for a month. And so the bag tree is there. They may have it there all year round, but that's what some businesses are doing. But they have started to take some steps towards, the College of St. Scholastica, the Student Senate, passed a resolution just about a month ago where the students demanded of their, they have a Student Senate, right? They passed a resolution calling on the administration to stop giving out plastic straws, and that they demanded, sort of quote unquote, requested that they be charged a fee for single-use bags at the store facilities.
Uh-huh.
So it's really exciting. Wow. You see, the youth are saying, charge us. We want to take responsibility, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we'll see in September what happens, but there are some students who are really active, engaged, and so the Student Senate passed this resolution, and then they did a petition as well, and they got, I think it was somewhere around, within 3 days, somewhere around 40% of their student body.
Wow.
Saying, yes, you know, in 3 days, this is what we want. So they're saying, charge us,
right?
We want it. We need some, basically what we're hearing from people is saying, we need some help in changing our behavior.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because
make it a little harder on us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have like, it's my set, like even me, I forget. It's not like I'm like Mr., you know, it's like that little, I don't know, angels are above my head. I go shopping all the time.
Always,
you know?
Bring your pet.
And it's not about being guilty or anything, but it's like we have to make it easy to do what we want.
Right.
You know, some stores in California and other places that put little reminders, did you bring your reusable bag on the doors?
Right.
Because sometimes people will be like, oh, it's in the car, and they see that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so we have to make moving up that waste hierarchy, refusing, reducing, sort of the default instead of this sort of throwaway society. Because when you have a disposable planet, right, by default you have disposable people, because somewhere people are impacted by this, mm-hmm. right? And it's typically those who have the least power and least ability to influence their lives.
Right.
And so if, whether you come at this lens through a social justice lens or an environmental justice lens, they're too connected, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you have a disposable planet, you're going to have disposable people, right? And I don't think anyone in Duluth wants that.
Right.
But I think that's what we have unintentionally, and that our broader culture has created, and we can undo it.
Right. Well, and so we as humans are so out of sight, out of mind, right? If I at least get it in the trash or the recycle bin, it's all okay. And that's not reality at all. And like you're saying, we're running out of landfill space. So, and I'm thinking, I want to circle back to the whole concept of recycling, because, and I don't know if this is in your exact wheelhouse for this, but mm-hmm. when I think of recycling and I think of places that I have heard where they have a recycling container and they have a garbage container, but they really all go in the same place, because they don't really have a recycling program, or the amount of stuff we recycle doesn't get recycled as much as we think. And then I come back to the plastic bags and I think of the stores or the places where we have those deposit your plastic bags here for recycling. Does that do any good? I mean, obviously the reuse part I think is a huge piece of importance. But are those just feel-good stations? Like, ooh, I'm taking my extra plastic bags, I'm putting in recycling bin.
So my first answer is, I don't know.
Okay.
But what we do know is that they roughly call, you know, these plastic bags thin film plastics, right? Mm-hmm. The recycling community calls them a contaminant. Right? Because what happens is, have you ever tried to pull a plastic bag? You know, you pull it with your hands.
Yeah.
These are strong.
Go,
it's
yeah.
like rope. So what happens is, in these big recycling facilities where they're, you know, processing some of the paper and bags, you know, there are all these big wheels that turn these things, conveyors and so forth. You get a plastic bag, they literally have to jackhammer some of these bags that are, they'll stop the machinery. That's how strong they are. So they're considered a contaminant in the recycling. So if you imagine a city the size of Duluth, people, you know, people often dump their recycles into their blue bin and so forth. Some people will put those in a plastic bag or two, mm-hmm. right? And I think it may be good intention, or they may put their plastic bags in. And what it does is it's hugely problematic for the recycling community, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other part of the question I think you're asking is just some of these facilities, my understanding is into the Duluth area a couple of years ago, there was a grant that allowed It was sort of a job development type program that provided jobs for those that maybe were having challenges finding work. It was sort of a recycling program. So around Duluth, you saw these recycling bins where you could put your grocery bags, right? Your thin film bags. Mm-hmm. So we don't really know what happened to the bags. Anecdotally, most of these do not get recycled.
Okay.
They do not. And it's often because you'll have a piece of paper in them or like a banana peel and it will mess up the whole load.
Okay.
Right? So unless it's perfectly clean and, you know, we're kind of rushing, thinking we're trying to do the right thing. So it's difficult to say. Sometimes they may work, other times they don't. But that program, what happened, I think the problem is we create these little kind of programs and then they disappear. So this one disappeared. So I was getting calls from schools and they... I'm just doing this as a...
Right.
It's like, talk to the WLC, talk to someone else, you know, but you kind of want to help. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, really, if we want to solve the problem, start using reusable bags, mm-hmm. right? And as a starter. And so now there's some of these drop-offs are in locations that they're charging the locations, right, a fair bit of money. And I know one school was having a lot, like said, we would like to collect some of these, you know, have a drop-off for our bags, but it's too expensive for us.
Okay.
Right? And so it all kind of depends. And many of the grocery stores have said, we hate these things because what happens is people dump them in and then the wind comes in and blows and they blow everywhere.
Right.
And so, but again, if we move up that waste hierarchy, right, we have to say, do we need these? Can we reduce our amount? Can we reuse them before we even start thinking about recycling? Mm-hmm. But the industry, right, wants us to think about recycling first.
Right. Well, because they want to sell more bags.
You got it. Right. And so we get tricked. It's not that recycling's bad. Mm-hmm. It's just less preferable.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That makes sense.
And even when they go in these, you know, a recycling truck or get picked up, a windy day, they blow, they go. Like, it's not, these systems aren't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's, we get tricked. So I think it's important, refuse, reduce, reuse. There's a hierarchy. Do we need these things?
Right.
And some people may say yes. And then it's like, okay.
Right. So is there anything else about this that I'm forgetting to ask, or an angle that I'm not pulling out that is important to address from your perspective?
You know, I know we sort of had a far-ranging conversation.
That's great.
I think one is that people need to call the city councilors, right, and let them know that they support this effort if they do. If they're still confused and want to learn more, there's a little bit on our website. You can pick up a National Geographic from the library and learn more. You know, this is Earth Day International has called plastic pollution the biggest issue, and it's their focus for the next couple of years. The European Union is thinking about banning plastics. So this is, we're behind the times in Duluth. Right, we're behind the times, mm-hmm. For a forward-thinking community that we are, right? So if you need to learn more, there's so many resources to look around. You know, you can go to the WLSSD or the MPC, look at the waste hierarchy. All this stuff is out there,
right?
And we have resources on our website and a variety of sort of pieces of information. But call your city councilors, hold a meeting. But we need people to understand that they're not alone. And I think for me, that's been the most interesting thing about this work and why we created the pledge, to allow people to put their names down there at bagatduluth.org. You can sign the pledge. I think through my lens, we are in a very interesting time, right? With climate change, we're doing baby steps and we have to do much, much larger steps. And this is a way to kind of help us hold each other's hands together. Instead of pointing fingers, we can kind of hold each other's hands as a community and work on this in a really exciting way. And then maybe it will lead to some other things and we can start to see synergies between other types of similar type of work that's in the social justice realm.
Well, and it's, I like your kind of visual there of, instead of pointing fingers, you know, holding hands and going together. And I think it's that doing little things, but then moving beyond the little things where we're actually really doing good and not just making ourselves feel good.
Absolutely.
One of the things I do want to say is I think that the idea of even just reading the bag site for me was that reminder that there's options. I mean, I think when we hear about this, like I said earlier, there's this concept of, oh, no more plastics. That means zero plastics. That means all my convenience goes away. And what you're also really promoting, like you've talked about, is that reuse, being mindful. What are we getting and how can we make the best use of that, at least, if it's going to be, can you use it for your dog waste? Because at least then it's going for something and it's not just going in the trash. What else can we do, or just walk through some of the things that we can do to good, better, best as a citizen in our own space? How do we deal with it if we're at a restaurant? Can we, you know, just say, hey, no thank you to a straw? Just some of those things.
I think we're scared to speak up, right? We don't have to take a straw, right? If we don't want to, we can leave a little card. I think it's not about feeling, this is hard work. I think it's hard because it's deep down, what it forces us to do is think differently about the culture that we've created, right? And that's why it's hard. And that's why for some, it may take a little longer. But when one looks at the science and looks at the society that we want to create, then a lot of this forces us to look deeply into our souls about our relationship to one another, right? Because each of these bags has a face. And from those working as rag pickers in India, or, you know, slamming a TV screen with a hammer in China, or working and living and breathing fuels from the refineries outside of Mossville or Port Arthur or other places, you know, there's faces to all this, you know. And I think we all want a healthy future for all. And I think what it's hard because it makes us realize, if we dig deep, deep down, that there's a bit of an illusion right there. And so we have to, I think, be respectful. I think it's not about feeling, guilty, right? And that I think we're all trying to do this. So I think seeing that we're together in this, and we're seeing really neat stories, you know. I had the story that someone emailed me about at a soccer team. You know, they were giving out single-use, I think, Gatorade bottles. And she said, look at all this sort of, I guess it was going to go in the recycling container, but she said, can't we just get a big, huge jug of water, right? Or even, I don't know if there's powdered Gatorade or, I don't know, but a couple of the parents said, yeah, that makes sense. You know, so there's all these little, it's not as though no one's doing things, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's, I don't know if I'm really answering your question, Judy, but I think some people can feel paralyzed, and that's not what we want to do. Mm-hmm. But we have power. Like, if we can find our own agency in this work, that's what's most exciting, because then that agency is transferable. You know, the agency is the ability to affect change, right? Mm-hmm. And you can do it in tiny, tiny ways.
Right. And just like you said, thinking, being a little more critical, thinking about what we're doing and how we're doing it, how we're using things. And we don't have to be a big environmentalist to do it's positive stuff.
Well, I don't even know what an environmentalist is.
Right.
No, but seriously.
No, that's a true and
what's
good
an environmentalist?
Point. That's a good point. I think the way it's sometimes perceived is very negatively in the whole, people perceive it as overboard, in your face, and they don't know how to partake in that even in a small way. So I think that sometimes that title can get, it makes people defensive. And what this is doing is trying to take away that wall. What the Bag at Duluth, I think, is trying to make us all think about it in a different way.
That's what we're hoping. It's, right. You know, time to think differently.
Right. Right. Awesome. Well, thank you. Anything else that we need to touch on?
I think we pretty well wrapped it up, Judy.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This is great.
It's great to be here. Love your podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. If you are walking away from this conversation feeling hopeful, interested, excited, go ahead and check out bagatduluth.org. There is a ton of information on there. That is where you're going to find, Jamie mentioned, the movie that you could possibly show and have somebody from Bagat come out, talk a little bit about it. Also, that is where you sign the pledge, and you can see all the other community members that have signed the pledge as well. And I really appreciate Jamie's statement about, you know, this isn't something to feel guilty about. This is something that we just need to figure out, which is half his statement, half mine. But the website provides a bunch of different tools to be subtle or more forward and help get the message out and help us figure out how to do this, which I think is wonderful. We need to know how to make this happen in our lives, individually and in our community, without having the fear of the words, no more plastic bags. And I think that is what is behind this campaign, which I think is really fantastic. They also do have a Facebook page, and you can find that by, when you're on Facebook, look for Bagot Duluth or facebook.com/Bagot Duluth. And because I can't resist, this is totally a Judy edition, nothing to do with Jamie at all. In the show notes, I have put a link to the song Canvas Bags by Tim Minchin. And if you are a Tim Minchin fan like I am, this will make perfect sense to you. I did put a link to the clean version with subtitles that is both safe for work and classroom usage. So if you need a little musical help to help you remind yourself to bring your canvas bags to the grocery store, I highly suggest playing this and getting it stuck in your head. My favorite version is on his album, but again, I wanted to have the most safe for work version that I could so you could get a delightful taste of this. Wonderful anthem that I would find very helpful if my house would sing to me every time I leave to go to the grocery store. So check it out if you need a little upbeat tune in your day. Thank you so very much for listening. You can check out all of our podcasts at wellnessrenpodcast.com. You can find all of them on the web. Hit the play button and they will just play for you. If you are an iTunes user, go ahead and subscribe. And if you feel called, please leave a review. That would be fantastic. You can sign up on the Wellness Ren podcast website on the left of where the podcasts are for the email. We just send out a quick email every time we put out a podcast that has the name and a quick link to it so you can see what it's about. Super easy. And if you want to support the podcast and you are an Amazon user, check out the tab at the top that says support the podcast. You're going to come upon a page that has a bunch of links. If you click on any one of those, if it interests you or not, you do not have to purchase that item, but anything that you do purchase in that shopping trip, a very small portion, not an extra added charge, but a small portion of your shopping trip that day will go to support the podcast. So thank you so very much for the folks out there who have taken the extra couple clicks to support. Really do appreciate it. Connect with us on Facebook at Wellness Renaissance. Absolutely love your feedback, suggestions, and input. Have a delightful day, and until next time, here is to you finding the pieces that fit with grace and ease into your health puzzle.